Well, at some point, all of us have lost our senses, right? Whether it be from a cold or just sometimes even from medication, right? We lose maybe even our sense of touch. All different kinds of things happened. And I've talked about how I've lost my sense of vision when in seminary I had to read so much and write papers, and so my eyes were constantly being taxed, and so I would get ocular migraines is what they are called, and spots would appear and I wouldn't be able to see, and the only way I would be able to get rid of them was to close my eyes. So my eyes actually told me when I needed to close them. So like our reading, the loss sometimes is not temporary. It's sometimes permanent. Or times when we are born with our loss, just like Wilbur the duck in our story. And this leaves people in difficult situations. Because people are not able to operate within the boundaries that we've set up as society, they are often left out or left behind. Many are misunderstood because their loss is not easily seen or recognized. And today we have an opportunity to step into a place of understanding, a place of compassion, and a place of support. And our first step in that journey is to hear from someone within our community. And I'd like to invite Jim Bryant up to share his reflection on this topic.
Good morning, y'all. I'm going to have to take my glasses off to read this. My name is Jim Bryant, and I would like to share an experience with you. One day during a nap 4 years ago, in April of 2014, I suffered a massive amount of seizures consecutively as I lay sleeping. These seizures caused damage to my brain, which altered my senses. Technically, the damage is called PRESS, P-R-E-S, Posterior Reversible Encephalopathy Syndrome. High blood pressure and foot on the brain caused some damage. Some symptoms improve with therapy, like speech, learning to walk again, read again, logic. I became more oriented in time and space, but at the time, my vision kept worsening. My emotions became more brittle as I developed an overwhelming sense of increased empathy, which creates like physiological response in my body. For instance, when I see a video clip of someone else tripping or bumping themselves accidentally. My balance, again, worsened over time, and a sense of displacement is still fairly constant. After the seizures happened that day, my first recollection was of sound, a sense of vibration without any reference just surrounded me. Light was the next thing I became aware of, a sense of being bathed in red, as if everything outside me was in a thick red fog. When those two senses met, I tried to understand what they were, and then at that moment I realized that I exist. There was a sense of my spirit reaching out. I slowly became aware that I was a conscious being. I thought, what is this I? What is this me? I really had no sense of a physical body yet. None. The next of my senses to come into play was a tactile sense. About the comforting and calming rocking motion. Next, I became aware of a soothing warmth. And the warmth was coming now with more pressure and long curving arcs. A stab of brilliant white light rips through the red fog. A moist, warm tongue meets my eye. My dog just licked my eye open. Okay, panic time. Wait, who am I? Where am I? In space and time. Why don't I feel my body? Why can't I see normally? I heard a noise. I garnered the strength to speak. My words fell from my mouth like leftover macaroni and cheese as I called for help. My daughter Abigail, just returning from school, saw Fritz washing my head and face and instantly knew that I experienced a particularly bad episode. The rocking sense was my head lolling back and forth as Fritz licked it. Abigail came to me and took over for Fritz. She began to stroke my head as I asked her to, from north to south, in the direction which the Columbia River flowed. The thought of the river flowing calmed me. Also, this was so I could begin to imagine what direction my body was pointing. My gyroscope was gone. I had Abby also do some first aid, like getting my blood pressure up with some coffee and sugar and bouillon to replace the salts and fluids. And however, after this, I resisted my wife's and Abby's urges to go to the hospital. They wanted to dial 911, but I vehemently resisted. Evidently, I had lost some common sense also. Yeah, right? I wouldn't go to the ER until the next day. By then, things had gotten worse. I couldn't move my left leg. I couldn't see anybody's whole face. Pieces were missing from everything I looked at. Nothing made sense. Everything I tried to focus on would disappear. So you have a graphic depiction of what that might be like to see through my eyes. There's a slide. This is a color relief eye map of my eyes post-seizure. The red areas are what I can no longer see in. I arrived at the hospital in the emergency room, and my neurologist comes in. He says, "Jim, we have to run some tests. We don't know if you've had a series of strokes or seizures. Then we have to run some tests." I recognized his eyes and his voice. He took my hand and held it while telling me, "I want you to know something. These things happen. You didn't do anything wrong. And it isn't your fault." I remember crying. I had really needed that kindness right then, and it was never forgotten. And those kindnesses continue to this day for me. After 1 week of the critical care unit, I was moved to the intensive care unit for the whole of the next week. After that time in the hospital, I was moved by ambulance to the third floor of Wenatchee Valley Clinic Hospital for occupational therapy. There I remained for the better part of a month, learning to walk, speak more clearly, deal with my vision changes, and I practiced reading and writing. Also, there was a process of learning to cook and cook meals, bathe and dress myself again. They were trying to help me gather my loose marbles and train me to be self-sufficient. They only let me leave because my family and my community could support me at home. My sense of balance was bad already due to spinal damage. And now every step I take feels like a religious experience. Not feeling my feet underneath me due to neurological issues and not having working gyroscopes leaves me feeling with a feeling of being in continuous fall. Lost my place. Continuous fall. Always in motion, whether I am standing, sitting, or laying down. My example of that is as in some video games where you might come to a large chasm to cross and there's no more footholds. Too far to jump, too far to fall. So I must have faith that when I put my foot down for the next step, there's a surface that will show up. And it will be there every time. And as I lift my foot for the next step, that's where faith enters in. So there's a blessing through this exercise. I've learned to have even more faith and trust in my higher power, something I was lacking. And I have found that you can alter your perception, even though you cannot alter your senses. This is not denial. For me to be able to choose to accept these changes, to work with them, to work with and learn from, and to make good with, rather than perceive them as a loss to be more, as an epiphany. I needed then, and I still need, a lot of assistance through physical and occupational therapy, all my doctors, and a lot of love and compassion from family and friends. And I have the pleasure now of getting to slow down and enjoy my life. Joy being the key syllable in that word. I get the joy of learning what I thought I once knew. Perhaps this time knowledge with understanding. I learned to appreciate the preciousness of human life, mine and yours both, even more. This has led me to become a kinder and more thoughtful person, I think. It has caused me to have more passion for the things I love, like sharing my music and a larger desire to be in community and to be of more service to my fellow man. There are those who suffer so much more than myself that I can be and am of service to. And I have found that I can't be my best individual self without everybody's help. And without everybody's help, I wouldn't be here. So if you find someone having a seizure or a stroke, just be with them. Keep them calm. Say reassuring things after calling 911. Got that? The sooner help is received, the less damage happens. Love and care for them, as my dog did before another human even came on the scene. You can also help support your local occupation, physical therapist, or give to appropriate foundations. And let's not forget the Humane Society. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. So let's just take a moment and let it settle in what Jim shared with us. Invite you into an activity which in a very minor way I hope gives you some of that disorientation. I promise to keep you safe. Okay. In your order of service, you have a blank piece of paper. If you do not have one, raise your hand and a greeter will get you one. So we have one over here that needs a piece of paper, one in the back, one in the front. You'll also need to find a writing implement, which you can find in the back of the chair in front of you, or raise your hand and the greeter will bring you one. Okay, raise your hands high if you need a paper or a pen. Vicki, there's some on this side. Pat, right up here up front. And Kumju needs one behind you. Behind you, Pat. All right. On your paper, I'm going to ask you to draw something. You need to listen to the instructions carefully. No questions can be asked. I know, that's really difficult. And I'll only repeat them once. One time. I'll wait for the greeters to get settled so they can participate. Okay. Number one, draw a circle. Number two, draw a triangle inside the circle. Number three, draw a square in the corner. Number four, sign your name on the paper. Anybody got anything different? Okay, I am. Same for her.
So Diane, Diane has a circle and a triangle and a square at the bottom of her triangle and her name underneath that. Okay? Let's take one more. Anyone else? Chris? So Chris has a circle and a triangle and a square and her name down here. Okay? You want to see what I actually wanted you to draw?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody have that?
That was pretty close.
Sharon, you do? Anybody else have it? Kumchu does? Christina? Chip, did you get it too? Pretty close? So that sense of being disoriented, you know, you don't know what I'm really asking you to do, right? I'm just giving you words and you're trying to interpret them. I could have said, draw a circle around of about 3 inches. Well, maybe that's a bit big, but an inch circle in the middle of your paper. Draw a triangle that all sides meet in the circle. Draw a square in the top left corner and write the words, your name, at the bottom. Right? So that orients you a little bit more. So that's, like I said, a very minor way to know how it feels to get disoriented. You need those nuances of what is actually being asked, what is actually being done in society to know how to orient yourself. The nuances in speech, in texture, or words. Right? And if you've lost that orientation, it turns into a place of unknown and uncertainty, and trust becomes hard. It becomes hard to know what your world's going to give you at any moment. And as a faith community, we believe in the worth and dignity of each person. We believe in compassion, equity, and justice. We believe what happens to one of us happens to all of us. And it's for this reason we are called into community to support and understand those who have become disoriented. We're meant to be that duck family that surrounds people. And this requires us to be patient. Even in looking at a simple task. This requires us to educate ourselves on how we can help. And one of the ways we are investigating in our very own community is the use of assisted hearing devices. And they've been added to our proposed budget for the next year to provide support to our community inside our walls who need that. So be aware of that as you look at the upcoming budget, that is something that we're trying to do and has been asked for by those in our community. So when we take the time to be fully present with each other and work through whatever task it is that is before us, then we have the opportunity to fully live into our Unitarian Universalist faith. And I would add, we would even have the ability to see the sparks of the divine at work. Now let's get real. I know a lot of people have been struggling since Wednesday. All right? Since the shooting. And since the kids got hurt. And there's many personal things that are going on in our lives that are causing us to struggle too. And it may not seem like we are doing anything about it in this church, but we are. We have been talking about how we can heal our world every day this past fall and into this new year by being vulnerable with each other, by caring, by loving, by taking what we know in these walls, outside of these walls, all the time.
We have to be kind. We have to be patient. We have to be loving. We have to put our petty little assumptions and ideas of what perfection looks like and what we expect of other people aside and meet people where they are. Because people are hurting. And they're disoriented. And they're lost. And if we can offer a smile or a loving kindness or something like that to somebody as we go through our world, that can help. If we can sit down and talk to somebody instead of dismissing their ideas because we don't agree with them, that can help. In one of the groups I'm leading, we're reading a book right now called, I can't remember the title, but I remember the author, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, and the quote in it has become my favorite quote now. I get them every once in a while. And it says, faith is the relationship in which we enter with God to do the work of love. Faith is the relationship we enter as God's partners to do the work of love. We have work to do. We have work to do. And we have a choice. That's something else we talked about. We have a choice to stand up and wake up every day and set our intention to love, or to set our intention to not wanting to love, to tolerate. And I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to give up. And I think we have a huge ability to love the hell out of the world in this room. A huge ability. And so I implore you to take time, to be patient, to be loving, to be kind, to be compassionate, to reach out, to talk to people, see them for who they are. Reorient them in the world. Let them know they're not alone. Let them know you care. Let them know you hear. So I invite you into our body prayer again, just to kind of give us a way to come out of this. I place my hands on my eyes and offer gratitude for the beauty I have witnessed. I place my hands on my ears and offer gratitude for the sounds of life I have heard. I place my hands on my nose and offer gratitude for the smells of comfort I have received. I place my hands on my mouth and offer gratitude for the taste of nourishment I have been given. I place my hands in one another and offer gratitude for the touch of connection I have known. And I place my hands on my heart and offer gratitude for the blessings of love in my life. Amen.